Today, what are the numbers really telling us? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by Edwin Almeida, our property insider. Hello, Edwin.
G'day, Martin. How are you going?
Very good. How are you?
Well, thanks. And I guess we're going to be talking about lies, and then there are real estate statistics, or should I say lies, politicians, and real estate statistics.
Yes, trying to separate the sheep from the goats, I think, will be a good way to think about it, because there's been a lot of hype in the media the last two or three weeks about, hey, auction clearance rates are really high, everything's wonderful, we're seeing a massive bounce after the end of last year, right? And you know, and I know, that that isn't quite the way it really is.
Oh, well, that's correct. You've got to look at the true numbers, and what isn't reported with the mainstream media and with these analysts that, as I said, have got doctorates behind and before the name and in the middle of the name, whether they're doctors in psychology or whatever else. But let's just leave it at that for now, because I will go off the rails and I might get sued. But, it's interesting how they fail to see the facts. And the real facts are that on the actual day or the weekend, you only have approximately 20 to 25% of properties that have been taken to auction sold. A large portion of them, or another 80 or so, are sold prior to auction, and that's questionable. And then you've got the ones that drag on over the following week. But when you look at the real numbers, as I said, it really represents only about 35 to 40% still in terms of the actual numbers that get taken to auction for that weekend, because real estate agents are not reporting the rest or the missing numbers or properties that are being taken to auction. And that creates a huge discrepancy in the figures. But yet you've got people like, Ross Greenwood, which I always admired this man and look up to him. And they come up with some crazy notions, with the fact that they believe that the market is turning. So therefore, what am I meant to go just because I watch Channel 9 or whatever shows he's on, that I'm now going to believe that the market is turning? I'm going to go out there and place a deposit on a $700,000 property, and then in 6 months' time, it's only going to be worth $550,000. Are they going to take responsibility for these ludicrous comments that they make on the mainstream media? Is a question that needs to be asked. So, Martin, these numbers, they need to be analysed a lot more critically and a lot more clinically.
Mm, yeah, I agree with you. So let's just sort of pull it apart a little bit, right? So there are two dimensions, right? The first is the count of actual auctions that are listed, yes, versus the ones that actually occur. And there's a big discrepancy between those two.
That's correct.
And then secondly, of those that actually do occur, hardly any that don't pass muster get reported. So effectively, the small number that actually are sold at auction are effectively lifting the percentage ratios up quite high, right?
So that's right, above
50, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing is that we should be looking at the total volume of auctions, right? So in other words, what's the total number that are actually in the system? And if you look at that compared with last year, we're about 50% down from where we were, just in the terms of the volume coming through. And yet nobody seems to highlight the fact that this is on very, very low volumes.
And that's what I've been saying, Martin. That's what I've been saying. And I've been saying it since last year. We've seen a gradual decrease in numbers that are actually sold at auction. We've seen a gradual decrease of numbers of properties going to auction. And as you said, Shane Oliver seems to be the only one reporting vaguely, albeit the fact that there's a difference of about 58% across Melbourne and Sydney of less properties that are actually being sold at auction. Now, but again, these are the real numbers. On average now, we've got about 700 properties in Sydney going to auction over the last few weeks. Now, in Melbourne, closer to 1,000. But yet, the ones that are actually sold on the day are closer to 200, 238 on average. unreported, we're still tracking unreported figures of anywhere between 45% and 60%. And then you've got another anomaly, Martin, and this is, again, which we've proven over and over again with our Twitter followers, and that is that there are so many double ups in the reportings. So you've got auctions that were cleared, that got reported 2-3-4 weeks ago, or went to auction 2-3-4 weeks ago, and they are accounted as the cleared numbers on the day. So is that another 20-30% that are adding to the volume? These are very, as I said, it's lies and statistics. So when you look at the I guess the actual logarithms, or the way that they're calculated, even that's dubious, the way these figures are calculated. But then again, we're relying on domain data, CoreLogic, as I've spoken to them online, and I was with some of the CoreLogic representatives, they have admitted online to myself and my followers that their data is, as they say, worst case scenario, 75 days behind. That's the worst case scenario. I'm saying that their data is anywhere between 3 and 6 months behind, worst case scenario. Best case scenario would be about 75 days. So they're the things. Now, one of the comments that were made was they were saying that, which I thought it was really interesting. So our viewers can analyze this commentary the way they like to. And they said, well, we are relying on the information given to us by the real estate agents. I thought, okay, so does that mean that the real estate agents are the good guys now for the data collection, and we're the bad guys when it comes to everything else? Seriously, you're going to rely on that? But as an actual fact, the last time I got a phone call from CoreLogic to ask me what the result was on a particular property was about a year and a half ago.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm right in thinking that the way the system actually works is that agents have to be proactive to submit their data into the system to be able to register a successful auction, right?
Yeah.
So basically you've got, at the grassroots, people actually putting all this data in. So clearly they're going to be more motivated to put it in if in fact they had a successful auction, vis-a-vis the ones who didn't have a successful auction, which is your point about, well, the ones that don't actually pass muster never get in the system, right?
That's correct.
And then the second is, you've got no second proof, you've not got any cross-check to see whether that one really did sell on the day, whether it had sold previously or whatever. So again, there is no proof, no cross-checking. It's simply a process which is owned by the real estate sector, who of course are completely objective and independent and will give you precisely the accurate information.
Yeah, well, exactly. The only way that they're going to that CoreLogic confirm this is when it actually is registered with the Lands and Titles Office, and hence the reason why I'm saying that the data is, best case scenario, 6 to 8 weeks behind anyway. So by the time a property settles, it's 42 days and a couple of weeks to get all the information passed on. But this is the interesting thing, Martin, as I said to you in our last year's post, and that is that REA have now got their own platform. They're going to stop giving and passing on information to CoreLogic if they haven't already done so. So now, whether the viewers know this or whether the industry knows this is another story. But now, how are CoreLogic going to get their information for the mainstream media to rely on the so-called data? Look, they have been, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that the people have got to understand and they've got to be more transparent that their data is delayed. And we're going to see we're actually further ahead in price falls than what the mainstream analysts and data companies have collected.
Yeah, so let's just sort of make sure we're clear on that. What we're saying is that the settlement data, which effectively is when the price is absolutely anchored and declared, is at least a month to 6 weeks after the transaction date. Right?
Yeah, 42 days minimum. Yeah. And then it could be delayed. And with what we've noticed on the ground is settlements are actually being delayed a few more weeks. People are asking for extensions for one reason or another. Yep. And that's just signs of the times because of credit, because banks aren't ready, lawyers aren't ready, because, you know, releases and mortgages and everything else is taking a lot longer than the respected 6-week settlement period. So they're asking for the extensions on the settlements, or the going through to the notice of completion, which is an extra 2 weeks given here in New South Wales anyway.
Yeah, right. So basically, the price on the day is hardly ever declared now. So if you look down the list of all the available, you know, most of them say not declared, right? Which tells you something, that perhaps they're not particularly proud of the price they got, but, or maybe there are other reasons why it's not disclosed. But compared to last year, there seems to be a high proportion not disclosed on the day, which then puts you back onto that process, which effectively is the settlement process. But that means that the major indices that are tracking home price movements are going to be delayed. And of that course. Means and that means that the falls that effectively we are seeing from the front line, as it were, through the first part of this year, have yet really to come through into the official quote unquote data. And by the way, of course, the ABS use CoreLogic to come to their data.
That's correct. And so it's a vicious circle, Martin. One of the things that I've been saying since early 2017 is, and been questioned, is the collection of data. I mean, I've been saying for many years now, but probably 9-10 years, that a lot of the data collection companies, they're behind because of that reason. I mean, I've become aware of it. It's not rocket science to work it out anyway. As I said, look, these data companies are good. They're useful to an extent, but they're useful from a historical point of view. But from a real data, live data scenario, they falter. The data that I collect, the data that I get, obviously, yes, I do use the live listing data that's on REA, and I do use the live listing data that's on Domain, and the CoreLogic information and everything else that comes with it. But I also get data from, approximately 150 real estate offices across Sydney. And this is what a lot of people don't understand, that the data that I talk about, the information that I talk about, because of the organisation that I belong to and the data that is shared with me, is actually live data. It's actually, you know, real data. So, but don't start spinning yarns about the downturn has, you know, or the market downturn has now bounced back, or because of 1 week's 1 week's trend. But also, I question again: why is there so much pressure by the agents on the vendors to take properties to auction? And the reason why they do that is because they are in panic mode. And this, I'm talking about the real estate offices. They're in panic mode. They're suffering. They are suffering. They're part of the SME sector that is short of cash. It's a service industry that is reliant on a sale. And a sale could now take anywhere between 60 days to 120. And in some cases, we've tracked properties that have already had the first birthday and gone beyond the 365 days being on the market. And so therefore, no sale, no fee other than the vendor paid advertising, which, you know, again, that's another topic.
And in fact, the AFR published a story over the weekend, I don't know whether you saw it, which basically said that the settlement price in some properties, particularly we're talking about Melbourne, are down 40%. And in fact, some of the people were saying the reason for that is that the vendors are actually paying more, because essentially when the agent overquotes, that means they can get a bigger fee for the vendor paid advertising. So effectively there's an incentive to quote high, because they actually generate more cash to the business.
Which is against the law, it's the opposite of underquoting. It's called overquoting. It's buying the listing, and it's again a travesty which the real estate institutes have not controlled, and they don't want to control, because of the vendor paid advertising. But this is a warning to the industry, and this is a warning to my colleagues, and that is that vendors will turn around and will sue the agent for overquoting, not being successful on the day, or then going to another agent. They're going to be selling at a much lower rate, so they're going to have a very strong claim against the difference between the quoted sale price, or the CMA, the comparative market analysis that the agent gave them, and the actual sale price 90 days down the track, because they've lost the opportunity, they've lost time on the market, the market's changed, and guess what, Martin, they're going to be sued. There is going to be a lineup of vendors taking the agents to court for that difference between the illusionary $1 million sale to the actual sale of $850. So the difference is what the vendors, the smarter ones, will take their agents to the tribunal, and then they will go on to the high court.
Absolutely. So just going sort of back then to, if people are hearing the mainstream media and reading the newspapers saying, oh, now, you know, there's a bounce, are you seeing that in terms of vendor expectations when they come to put their property on the market? Are they saying, no, we're going to hold our expectation high at the moment? Is that what's happening, or how's that playing out in practice?
Well, in practice, I guess one of the things that has happened in the last couple of weeks, not only with myself, but and my colleagues, the ones that I talk to regularly, is that it's almost like a 50-50. It's the people that more or less could see that they lost the opportunity to sell a year ago, or 18 months ago, when they first received the market appraisal, they've all of a sudden contacted agents and saying, oh, look, the market is bouncing back, can you come and let's talk about putting the property on the market. I had one today, just before I logged on. I'd just finished with a client, and to do this interview, I just finished with a client, and he said, oh, Edwin, you did market appraisal, blah, blah. So I went and saw him today. He called me yesterday. I went and saw him today. And he said, we'd like to put it back on the market. And I said, all right, so what's changed your mind now? What is your motivation? He said, oh, because we watched the media, and things are allegedly bouncing back. I said, that's interesting. And so I said, how much do you expect to get for your property? And he said, oh, we're looking at around 440. My initial market appraisal for that particular unit was 470. And this was, as I said, approximately 18 months ago. And I said, well, that's interesting. I said, how'd you come up with that? And I said, well, because of this, they give you the reasons. You've got to entertain what they need to say. You've got to look at the needs and everything, the situation, the circumstances. And I said, well, the last three sales in your complex have been around the 420 mark. And that was in a better time, and that's over a period in the last 3 months, from December till September of last year. So then I said, well, what do you expect this property to sell at? And I said, at the moment, if you're quick to get it on the market, we're looking anywhere between 390 and 400. I mean, their jaw hit the floor. I said, well, what happened to the mainstream media reports? I said, what? Which reports? From which doctor? Or from which analyst exactly, and what were they relying on the auction clearance rates for Saturday? Oh, yes, we are. Even my colleagues at work are talking about it. I said, interesting. Okay, well, how about the actual facts? Let's rely on the mainstream media facts. Over the last quarter, Sydney and Melbourne have come down almost 4.5% in the last 3 months. That they're the real facts. The trend at the moment for Sydney and Melbourne over the last few months has been around about 1.3-1.4% drops in prices, and it's going to start picking up again. Then you've got the ABC reports that there's 15% more properties on the market this time than there were last year. They're the real facts. They're the real figures. And we haven't seen the tsunami of Houdini investors and everybody else that's walking away from deposits, Martin. And I'll entertain our audience with a few more real facts, real data. So Marsden Homes, it's open. I get it from my sources. Now Marsden Homes, over the years, on average, they would sell roughly around anywhere between 650 properties per year built, right, year in, year out. Well, last year, from my sources, I've been informed that they've only built 200 or thereabouts. This year, they've only signed a handful of contracts so far, Martin. That's the real data. The real data is not when our friend Ross Greenwood in the morning was all bells and whistles and pom-poms and hooters and whatever else, you know, saying that the market has turned because of the high clearance rates in auction rates. But yet in an interview later on 2GB, when he's talking to the head of Boral, and the head of Boral saying, we've now got a 20 to 30% downturn in terms of revenue. In other words, less builders ordering less product from Boral. That's concerning. That's real data. They're the real facts. All these small companies, the medium tier to small tier building companies, Martin, are losing clients. Why? Because they can't get credit. They can't get the construction funding. It's not easy to get construction funding. And I'm talking about people that are just building a house. They're either downsizing or they bought the first property, but they bought a block of land out west, northwest, southwest of the center of Sydney, and now they can't get funding. Why? Because the valuations are not coming in. That's real data. The real fact, the real data is that by the end of 2019, we're going to have anywhere between 50 and 75,000 tradespeople out of work in New South Wales. And by the end of 2020, that number could escalate to about 200,000. That's the real information. That's the real data that we need to be concerned about.
I agree. And it's interesting, Edwin, that I'm seeing that also in my SME survey data. So the proportion of tradies who are in the construction sector, mm-hmm. who are not clear on where their next piece of work's coming from has doubled since last time around the survey, which was just before Christmas. So there is a significant change in the weather when it comes to some of the small firms and individuals who are effectively reliant on work in the construction sector. So that's, if you like, the leading indicator that I always see of more trouble ahead, because clearly what's going to happen is that more and more of these people are going to get into more and more difficulty because there's no work.
No, there's no work, and the builders don't sell the building contracts, the landowners aren't selling the land. Yes, they're keeping the 10%, but guess what? In the meantime, the properties have dropped in value by 20-30%. Here's another interesting fact for our audience, Martin. So in the Mount Druitt area, at the peak of the market, square meter values of land in around the Mount Druitt area, that were roughly anywhere between $750 a square meter to $850 a square meter, depending on the suburb, because they do vary a little bit in that area. So round figures, $800 a square meter at the peak, right? Now there are blocks of, when I say blocks of land, or I'm not even taking away the intrinsic value of the homes that are on there, because as far as I'm concerned, it's only a block of land, because you either got to spend $150,000 renovating the bloody place, or knocking it down and building something else. So I'm just looking at the value of the land. So now the values, from my calculations, we've come down to roughly $350 a square meter. Do the numbers on that. So what does that tell you? As I said all along, land is what appreciates. Buildings depreciate, they get old and they need maintenance. So that's the real facts. That's the real data. That's the stuff that the mainstream media isn't picking up on. What they're concerned with, the mainstream media, are real estate agents in New Zealand jumping off cliffs to get a listing. Seriously? You gave an idiot charge or carriage of yours of the sale of your property because he jumped off a cliff? Seriously, that's what you done? I would have taken it a different approach. I would have said, put your money where your mouth is. You spend the vendor paid advertising yourself and I'll give you the listing. That's a much better way to see whether or not they're going to work, particularly in this climate, albeit in New Zealand. But then again, our neighbours, our cousins do all sorts of funny things over in New Zealand, I've been told.
Well, in fact, their markets are also looking a bit sick, particularly in Auckland. And we cover that with Joe Wilkes quite frequently too. So just sort of standing back then, you're still holding your same view in terms of home prices have a lot further to fall, and we're going to see more significant falls as we go through the year.
Martin, the only thing that's changed, with my views is the fact that my level of worry has gone up a couple of notches. So my worry pills have taken prescriptions have doubled. because I'm really concerned. It is this, the market is the downward trend from what I see on the ground is actually increasing speed week in, week out. And that's alarming. And I'm not just talking about the West, because I look at, you know, we look at all the all of Sydney, and you know, as far as Newcastle and also parts of Wollongong. So, and also we also look at, I'm keeping a very close eye on the SME sector, as you know. That's very, very interesting, because as I've said to you, there's roughly about 8,000 offices in New South Wales, corporations that are registered in New South Wales on Fair Trade in New South Wales figures, so which gives us a guesstimate of about anywhere between 6,500 to 7,000 real estate offices in New South Wales. So that's concerning to me. So yes, I'm still of the opinion that we're going to hit the 204, 205 figures. Some of my colleagues, the Cookie Man and Little Chook, between the two of them, I think they're also considering coming down as far, even lower than my figures. These are all our Twitter followers. There's some really interesting information coming out now. And the scary thing is we haven't seen the tsunami of listings to date. And I'll give you this. I've started to recompile from my sources to recompile the new listing figures for January and February. In January, the new listings, the new live listings that have come on were around the 5,500 new listings that have come on the market in Sydney. February, we're now up to 8,200 new listings in February, and albeit this data is still a week old, so we'll finalize that data next week. Now, what does that tell you when properties are staying on market for a lot longer than the 90 days? You know, when you're up to 120. And lastly, the government or the proposed elections have got everybody on a holding pattern. So sooner than all I'm seeing is this holding pattern, and you can picture a holding pattern, you know, aeroplanes over a congested airstrip on a holding pattern. Sooner than later, they're going to run out of juice and they're going to start falling out of the sky. And that's what's happening right now. Because nobody knows what the Labor Party are doing. Nobody knows what the Liberals are doing. Nobody knows what the state government's doing. Nobody really knows what the federal government's going to do. Are there going to be incentives? Are we going to get $50,000 first homeowners grants and all this sort of stuff? You know, throwing money before the elections. Yeah, the promises haven't started coming out yet. But because of this holding pattern, it's creating a lot more pressure. So I can only see that it's going to escalate. So going back to my first half of the year figures of 12 to 15% drops, I think I'm going to be on the money. Yearly drops for this year of anywhere between 20 and 25%, I think it's very, you know, highly likely. 2004, 2005, I think I'm going to have to readjust that to maybe even go down to 2000 to pre-2000 figures.
Okay, well, thank you very much for relaying that and sort of painting a very worrying picture. Certainly the rate of decline... The rate of decline is definitely increasing, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne. But, of course, it's all spreading now. I'm seeing similar issues in some other places where people were a little more confident. So it's a bit like the last downturn, where effectively Sydney and Melbourne led down, but it then spilled more broadly. And I think the spiralling that we've now got is going to be pretty unstoppable through this year. And, frankly, even if the government does throw a bit of money through fiscal stimulus of some sort, to my mind, it's just, it's going to slide down the wall. It's not going to have any real impact on changing the momentum. And I think we're in...
Sorry, Mike. No, it's not going to have an impact. It may have a small... It may put a small dent. It's like... I liken it to throwing an anchor of a Led Zeppelin. And not just because I like Led Zeppelin, the band, but just picture a Led Zeppelin coming down to Earth at a million miles an hour, and you think you're going to stop that. Yeah, you're going to sort of soften the blow by throwing out an anchor. All anchors out, because that's going to solve it. Not even the biggest parachute's going to stop that. It's just too late. There's too much oversupply, Martin. There's too much oversupply, and the oversupply is ever increasing. because more and more projects are being completed and more people are walking the way, all these investors. And if things were changing, we would also see a change in the rental figures. The only thing, the only change that I'm seeing in the rental values is they're continually going down and vacancy rates are continuing to increase. But then again, Martin, you and I talked about this 2-3 years ago. You know, who are we? We're just doomsayers. You know, we're just the bloody doomsayers and the negative people that God put on this world. Yeah. You know, so all I can do is keep on having coffee and just keep myself. open-minded.
Well, you just keep drinking the coffee and I'll keep reporting the data and we'll chat back in a few weeks, Edwin, and see how it's going. Thanks for your time today.
Appreciate it.
Cheers, thanks.